Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard. And a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out into the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood and came by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. I want us to think for just a few minutes about this man who is now sitting weeping bitterly. Who is this weeping apostle? Isn't this the great apostle Peter that we know as the apostle to the Jews? This is the same Peter that we saw at the transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. He witnessed both Moses and Elijah standing in the transfiguration having a conversation with Jesus before he was betrayed. And in an excited way, he comes up to Jesus in verse 4, and he says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was so excited about what he had seen. This is the same Peter who saw Jesus walking on the water. And when he saw Jesus walking on the water, he wanted to get out onto the water and walk to Jesus on the water. And even though his excitement turned to fear and he began to sink, this was the same man. It is the same Peter who drew his sword on the night of Jesus' betrayal when the soldiers came to take him away, ready to defend his Lord and Master. This is the same Jesus who in Matthew 26 verses 33 through 35 said that he would die for Jesus. But now we find him weeping bitterly. Why was Peter weeping? We remember what Jesus told him in verse 34 of our text. "Assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Jesus, or rather Peter, is weeping because he realizes that he has done exactly as Jesus said that he would. You see, throughout this whole process, throughout this whole story, Peter makes three mistakes that leads him to this miserable condition that he now finds himself in. And that's what I want to talk about for the next few minutes. These three mistakes that Peter made that left him weeping. First of all, Peter got too sure of himself. Verses 33 through 35, we find Peter popping off, bragging to whoever can hear him. I can imagine him saying this very loudly and very abruptly. "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, yet I will never be made to stumble. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Now Peter is standing here and he's spouting off all this bragging work here of what he is going to do and what he is not going to do. And we find here a confident Peter. Actually, what we find here is an overconfident Peter. We have all experienced being overconfident, haven't we? I guess in one way or the other, we have we have felt of ourselves as indestructible, being able to do anything that we want to do, and no one can stop us and no one can slow us down because we have that much confidence in ourselves. You know, I would imagine that most of us here tonight know how to ride a bicycle. It may have been a few years since we've been on a bicycle, but probably most of us here knows how to ride a bicycle, don't we? We learned this as a child. How many of you bicycle riders could ride without hands? I was very good at riding my bicycle without hands. I could pedal with no hands. I could brake with no hands. I could weave from side to side in the road with no hands. I could even turn from one street into another with no hands. When I was about 13, 14, when I was tall enough, my daddy bought me one of these 12-speed English racers. You know the bicycles that has the handlebars that curl under with the dual handbrakes, both on the front and on the sides, and with the gear system that you can pedal and change gears at the same time, and you can take off on one of those things. They're tremendously fast. And I want you to know that I could do all of those things without hands, except slow down and stop because it was hand brakes. This was basically a perfectly balanced bike. And as I said, I could do all of these things on it. All but one. There was one thing that I was never able to master. And that was when you was going down the road at great speeds and you hit a rock. Because you know, English racer bikes have very narrow wheels. So you hit a rock with a narrow wheel and you immediately lose your balance. Well, I did. I hit that rock. I lost my balance, and I went down. And you know, if you're a bike rider, if you lose your balance, you're going down. I tore up the front end of that bike, and I tore up the front end of my knees, all at the same time. But I was so good at it. I could travel almost miles without touching that handlebar. Whether you're riding a bike, driving a car, operating machinery, we can become overconfident in our abilities, can't we? We can think that we can do anything on earth. I had a friend when I was a child. We watched a lot of Superman. Some of y'all watched Superman as children. Yeah. Superman could fly, you know. Well, Greg got really confident to the fact that he was a very fast runner. And he came up with the idea that I can run fast enough that I can jump and I can fly. So we were over at his house one day and we were playing. And, of course, he had to be Superman. He took off down a hill, and his mama had made him a cape, had him a costume, and he was fixed. He took off down that hill, and they had a storm cellar there, and the roof of the storm cellar just kind of eased off into the front yard, you know. So he took off in that thing, and he had that cape in his hand, and he hit that front of that storm cellar, and he went flying through the air for about maybe 10 feet, and then he came down. A few minutes later, they were setting his arm at the hospital. He was so sure that he could do that. You see, we all have limitations. But sometimes we don't think that we have limitations. And we pay the price. It's very easy to become overconfident. You know, Paul, he was confident in his Christianity, but he was cautious with it. He understood that he had limitations spiritually in his life. And that's why he told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 26, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, but not as one who beats the air. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul realized, even from a spiritual standpoint, that he had limitations, that he could only do so much. And there was a stopping point for him. And then he gives us this warning, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 beginning. Therefore, get this now, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In other words, you can't go to the point where you can't fall. No matter how big you get, there's always someone bigger. No matter how smart you get, there's always someone smarter. No matter what you do in life and achievement, there's always somebody that can achieve it in a better way. Every time we have an Olympics, somebody gets their golden record broken because somebody comes along that's a little bit faster, a little bit stronger, and has a little more endurance. So we all have our limitations. Paul goes on to tell us that, you know, there is no temptation that is overtaking you except such as common to man. In other words, we're all going to have these things happen to us. We're all going to find these limitations in our lives. But then he goes on to say this, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. With God working with us and for us, it will expand our limitations, but we still need to be cautious because we all still have limitations. Peter, I guess, didn't think about this when he said, I'll never leave you. He didn't think about this. He said, if I have to die with you, I won't deny you. He was bragging. Sometimes the tongue would get us in that kind of trouble. But he had something else wrong with him. He got too far away from Jesus. How do you define too far? If someone were to come up to you and say, how far is too far? What's going to be your answer? Is too far like you're out of reach? When I was a little boy, y'all may not believe this, but I was far from perfect as a little boy. And I was always doing something to make my parents mad at me, and sometimes I would do it in the car. Now, being an only child, I had the whole back seat to myself. And that was back in the days when you drove tanks instead of cars. They were just humongous cars. And I would do something that would make my daddy mad, and he would reach back to hit me. And he couldn't reach me because I'm in the other side now. And he would say, boy, reach up here where I can slap you. And he was doing like this the whole time. I knew how far to get away and how far it was too far for him to reach me. But what I didn't understand is sooner or later, that car is going to come to a stop. And you know, he never forgot any of that. Never once did he forget any of that. And there wasn't no getting away from him. I used to think I could outrun him. No, I never was able to do that either. How far is too far? Is it out of reach? Or maybe too far is out of sight. How many times do we find ourselves getting into the least little bit of trouble? Or maybe getting into a lot of trouble, and we do it unseen. Nobody knows that we've done it. You know, that's something else I couldn't get away with at home either. Because, again, I was an only child. There wasn't anybody else to blame. And when something come up missing or something come up damaged, they knew where to go. They didn't have to think about it. I was out of sight when I did that. How could they possibly have known? They knew. So I guess maybe too far is not really out of sight. Maybe too far is out of mind. You know, when you're out of mind and you do something and other people don't think about it, maybe you don't think about it, maybe that's the answer. We're just so far, we're out of mind. I'm doing this and no one can know it's me because they haven't even thought about me. I'm getting away with this. No one thought that I am the one who could have done this. You know, I think maybe from a spiritual standpoint, the definition of being too far from Jesus would be this: being unable to clearly identify ourselves as a follower of Jesus. If we have reached that point in our spirituality, that no one thinks of us as a child of God, no one thinks of us as a follower of Jesus Christ, then yeah, I guess we have gone too far. And my friends, there are Christians today who have gone to that distance. They have gone so far that no one would ever think of them as being a Christian. Perhaps it would mean being half-hearted. Half-hearted in our love for the Lord. Half-hearted in our devotion. Half-hearted in our loyalty. You know, Jesus speaks about love and loyalty in Matthew 22 and verse 37. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? You are to give your love to the Lord in every way possible. And if you fail in this, then you have gone too far in being away from Him. Perhaps going too far from Jesus means half-hearted in your following Him. You know, the church at Laodicea had this problem, and we read of this in Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. Jesus looks at them and He says, "Hey, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold nor hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you from my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing,' and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." See, we pump ourselves up to be certain things in life. We pump ourselves up to be grand, to be wonderful, to be wealthy, to have everything that life gives us. And Jesus said, in reality, you're right the opposite. Why? Because you're half-hearted and you've gone too far. Many people are too far from Jesus to draw strength from Him. There's not a person in this room who does not need strength from Jesus Christ. But there are people who have gone so far that they're not going to get it. They put so much distance between themselves and the church. They put so much distance between themselves and the faithful people of the church. If they get too close, you see, they're going to have to watch their lifestyle. They're going to have to watch their language. They're going to have to watch their actions, because in reality, they desire to be like the world, but they don't want the church to know about it. You know, I love these people who live double lives. Well, really, I don't. It's interesting, these people who live double lives. You know, they can be in one place, and boy, they can turn on the charm. They can be the best, the most wonderful person you ever thought of, and they can be the sweetest, kindest people you ever seen, but you let them walk through that door, and you let them go out there, and you let them get in another place and time, and boy, they can let it fly. All the filth and foul and muck that can come from one is right there. They know exactly how to pull those chains. They've gone too far. You see, many want to stay out of reach of church. Many want to stay out of reach of their Christianity. They want to be so close, but yet they want to be far enough away that they are not affected by Christian living. They want to be close enough to know and understand His will, but they don't want to do it. You know, there is a difference in understanding something and doing it. On the night of Jesus' betrayal, Peter followed from afar. He was too far away. He wanted to be close enough to see what was going on, but he did not want to get close enough to be affected by what was going on. And he failed. And we know that he failed because of something Luke wrote in Luke 22 and verse 61, because it says, "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." He didn't get far enough away for Jesus not to see him. And when Jesus saw him, all of this come back to Peter. And Peter knew he had been caught. And my friends, neither can we. We cannot get so far away that we won't get caught. The third problem that Peter had was that he got too close to the sinners. In verse 69 it said, "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and the servant girl came to him saying, 'You were also with Jesus of Galilee.' He was where the sinners were." He had gone far enough away from Jesus to where his influence as a follower of the Lord had lost its effectiveness, and he was recognized. And when he was recognized, he denied the fact that he had been with Jesus. You see, he placed himself in a position to where he had to make a choice to either defend the Lord or to deny the Lord. And we all know the choice that he made. He was guilty of what Paul had told us about in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." He was in a place where he should not have been. He was talking to people that he should not have been talking to because he had gotten too far. He had gotten too close to the wrong side. We need to understand that we need to avoid places and people and positions where it would make it hard for us to tell people who we are and what we are as children of God. You know, we're told not to be equally yoked with unbelievers. We are to become unequally yoked. We need, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." In other words, don't find yourself sitting by the fire. Don't find yourself sitting in the wrong place, listening to the wrong people, talking to the wrong people, being in the wrong situation. "For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" And in verse 17, it tells us to come out from among them and be separate. Come back to the Lord. Don't get so far away from him that these people influence you, threaten you, frighten you into doing the wrong thing. You see, he had cast his influence with the enemies of Jesus. Got to the point where he cursed and swore, which is something that a follower of Jesus, a true follower of Jesus, would not have done. He had to do something to prove that he had gone too far. And that's exactly what he did. He gave in under the pressure. What pressure? Well, he gave in under the pressure of persecution. He gave in under the pressure of popularity. He gave in under the pressure of peace, the pressure of conforming to the will of other people. And he gave in to the pressure of being at ease. You see, he thought by that fire, he was away from Jesus. He was away from the problem that was going on at hand, and he thought he had beaten the system. And my friends, the system of sin will take you down. It always has, and it always will. We look at this man, and he was definitely a man that was filled with agony. And I think maybe perhaps it wasn't because he had bragged about what he would do and what he wouldn't do. I think that it was because he realized what he had or what he had with his Lord. I think he thought about that relationship that he had had with Peter or with Jesus. I think he thought about the love that was between Jesus and him. I think he thought about that closeness that he had with his Lord. And I think he realized that he lost every bit of that when he sat down by that fire. He got too sure of himself. He got too far from his Lord. And he got too close to sin. Christian, be sure that you follow Jesus closely. Because the same thing can happen to you that happened to the great apostle Peter. You know, as we follow his life, we see Peter making mistake after mistake after mistake. But we find the Lord forgiving him, forgiving him, forgiving him. And he turned out to be a wonderful asset to the church. And you know, we can look in the mirror and we can see that very same thing in ourselves. Yes, we're going to make mistake after mistake after mistake. But if we will ask for forgiveness, if we will repent, that same process goes on. God will forgive and he will forgive and he will forgive. But we have to be sure that we stay close to him and not get too far away. It may be tonight that you're not a Christian at all. It may be that you're not following him at all. And I have to tell you, my friend, you're too far away for salvation. You see, you're not within reach of the blood of the Lord until you come to him through faith, changing your life by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of the living God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you come in contact with the blood of Jesus, and then he can wash your sins away, and he can save you, and you will be close to him. And you can begin that wonderful journey of being close to the Lord. Don't wind up in agony the way Peter is here on this occasion, because he had gotten too far away. Be sure that you are close to your Lord. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing.